All right, what's up, guys? Here in another episode of Eli and Mike. And today, all the way from Florida, right here to Beverly Hills, we have the amazing Glenn Musk with us today. How are you, Glenn?
Let's go.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my God, of course. And not just from Florida. You just actually got off a plane, came yes. here to Beverly Hills on Rodeo Drive. And where did you just come from?
Venezuela.
Wow. No, hold on. That wasn't just Venezuela.
Well, I had to stop through Colombia and Panama, and I got here finally.
Okay. Wow. So you did this, and then you came to California.
Around the world, basically. You flew across the world, basically, to be here.
And I just got here.
And he just got here, landed at the airport, and we're sitting here on the podcast.
So basically, welcome to the airlines of the United States government. That's how it works. Wow. But anyway, so Glenn, thank you for being here. And honestly, it's an honor having The Glitch here in our actual podcast. Yes. And we're just really excited to have you here so we can obviously talk about all these entrepreneurial things that you've been doing and you've been building. And, you know, you're in private equity. You're doing a lot of different things and influencing people in social media. You even have a page. And what's that system where you have The Glitch on where people can access it?
The Discord community?
Discord community, correct.
Where?
Yeah. So in that page, what's your goal? What have you been going for as far as in that page, the Discord page?
Well, we've been gathering entrepreneurs all over the world and people that are not even entrepreneurs, but they're trying to be. And so the idea is to put them in the right track with the right environment where people are just looking forward into becoming a better version of themselves. Mm-hmm. And so with the book, for example, it's the foundation where they start with the mindset, because that's where I see my success is my mindset. Yes. And so I want everybody to tap into their mind and figure out that's the powers that we have. It doesn't matter their success. Yes. You can lose it all. And like I told you guys in the last podcast we have, if you can have the mindset and the resilience to keep going and pick up yourself up and keep going and get it back, it's all about the mindset, you know?
That's powerful. You just said you're talking about your book. That was just released. And can you talk a little bit more about that? Because you talk a lot about yourself in it. And I've read this book personally, and it actually has changed my life. And so, you know, maybe talk a little bit about your book. It just came out.
So when I started doing it, I didn't know why I was doing it. Mm-hmm. I was just writing. And it was like a higher calling. It was just energy for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so I just dedicated like early mornings and my divine energy in the morning. It was to be grateful and ground. Mm-hmm. And so after doing that, I was just going through an hour or two to just write. And a lot of my mentors told me why I was wasting my time and in writing a book. I didn't have much experience. And so I'm young. I'm 22 years old.
Yes.
And I understand that. But I believe that I've been able to tap into my mind so hard. I spent so much money into mentors and just research about my mind and how I can understand it into a deeper level.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so in the book, what I teach is about the patterns that we have created since we're born, right? And so since we're born, we don't choose our name. Mm-hmm. We don't choose where the school that we go to. Correct. We don't choose many things.
Right.
And so there's kind of come to a point where you're like, these are not the patterns that I want to have in my mind.
Yes.
And you gotta have like a reset, or you gotta like reborn.
Right.
And I actually had this experience, and that's what I wanted to do in this book. Wow. Give these people a reborn where they can put their own patterns and understand their mind.
So you're kind of like releasing the chains of people's minds because they're so used to living a certain way, right? You're born and you're given the kind of like a tag number, like when people go to the military, they brand you and you live that particular life for the rest of your life. But you're kind of telling people, hey, here's the chains, take them off. And now you get to know more about your life, which, what's the name of your book?
The Glitch in the Game of Life.
The Glitch in the Game of Life. And in this book, people get to learn information about what they really belong to be, what part of life can they do to pursue something better.
Yeah,
and I think that's really important because being that you're 22, I mean, Jesus, some of you guys are 22 and literally not doing books, but no, for reals, but you're
flying across the world,
but you're creating something that young individuals can also tap into. And you can find this book on Amazon,
everywhere.
And we're going to get ours autographed today, obviously. So,
be ready.
So it's really empowering to know that you actually found a way to separate yourself. Like, is there something that happened in your life that made you realize that either you were going to write the book or why you feel like you are made for this?
About writing the book?
Or just being the glitch in general.
Yeah, what made you like be this person today? Is it, would you like say your parents inspired you? Sometimes we have guests and they state, no, it wasn't my parents, it wasn't my family, it was me. There was just something inside of me. So we always ask our guests, like, you know, what made you be this inspiring person? He's right. You're only 22. You are an author. You're writing books. You have companies. You have Discords. So many different things. And I think what we really want to know is, like, where did this all come from? You're so young.
Well, I guess coming from a small country and poverty from my family, my mom took me here when I was 14. And so I would say she influenced me a lot because she took me here without having that intention of, you know, that I was going to be an author, I was going to be into private equity, or I was going to be into real estate. She just brought me here for opportunities.
Yes.
And this is the land of opportunity. And so she do it unconsciously. She was working hard all the time. She just wanted to provide a better life for me. And so now that you put it in perspective and I look at it, she did influence me, and she's the one that put me in this position. Wow. And so shout out to mom.
Hey, go mom.
Yeah, no, facts. Let's go. Facts. And so... she changed my mind by giving me the gift of the reborn. It was a retreat. She took me to Colombia when I was like 16.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so in this retreat, we went to Colombia, and it was a big place.
Where, and this is after you already like moved to America?
Yeah, I was here. I was in high school.
Years,
yeah, and I was regular. You know, I had a
regular mindset.
Yeah, I was working as a server.
Okay.
And so I was making pretty good money, but I was spending it on stupid stuff like going to parties and a lot of girls. Yes. I had a lot of fun.
Right.
And so once she took me to that retreat, and this lady who was guiding the retreat, she was in ayahuasca.
Okay.
And they rubbed me into a womb. No, she wrapped me into a blanket that's supposed to be my mom's womb.
Okay.
Right? And so I don't know what she did. She just talked to me this like for an hour.
Right.
And so
did you take the ayahuasca?
No, I didn't. Okay. I actually didn't.
Yes.
I had the choice, but I didn't. I don't know. I was scared.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And so
you're like, now I might have.
Yeah. Now I might.
Now we might.
Now I might.
Just kidding. But yes. So you're wrapped.
And so she was just talking to me, whatever, and then all I can remember was like I was literally in my mom's womb, and she reset all these patterns.
Wow.
And since then, I've been able to build my own patterns and my own reality.
Wow.
Because once you start to believe in something, you can make it your reality.
Yes.
And so that's what he did. Like since then, I just been creating my reality by putting the thoughts and the speaking and everything that I want into action.
And this is so powerful. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Just because we just had a guest on our show right before you.
Yeah, literally.
She was actually speaking of the ayahuasca.
No way.
And here's the thing. She took it and it changed her life. And she went to one of these retreats. She is a director of movies with Miley Cyrus, Demi Moore, huge actor. She is a phenomenal person. But she did this retreat. Now, what's really amazing sitting here talking to you today, you went to one of these retreats. You were able to create your own patterns out of this. It changed your life.
Yeah.
But what's really intense sitting here with you right now listening to this is that you went to this retreat and you didn't take the ayahuasca and you still were able to create something out of this. And it's really powerful because when it all comes down to is really belief and the mind and really going into your mind. Mm-hmm. Obviously, taking the ayahuasca will really get you into your mind, but you were able to do it without the drug. Mm-hmm. These retreats sound so amazing. I don't know how many people we've talked to.
I feel like everybody takes a piece of whatever event they go to. So by going to the ayahuasca, you don't always need to take the medicine. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll call it medicine, but you go there and you probably enjoy the networking, the company, the exposure of information.
Yeah.
And I feel like that alone was your experience that you needed at that time. You know, being 16, maybe you didn't need all those medicines, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, obviously, maybe now things have changed, but I feel like that's such a great exposure because when you were going through all your bad times, it pivoted you. Yeah. It changed your mindset to become this insane glitch now. and you don't even understand what's happening, but you're going forward and you're doing it and you're capturing other great talent around you. And you're in the circle of people that you're always building with. And I think that's what completely empowers you. I mean, you're on the 2 hours sleep right now from what you said earlier.
Yeah.
So you're still here, fully aware
yes.
of what's happening, You're not like, I need to get a sleep right now. Like, nah. I want to go home right now.
You know what I want to do? I want to do blow flow. I just want to put my head down. What you saw me doing before the fight.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Because
I haven't done it because I was being on the flight. Okay. I wasn't able to do it.
You could do it right here. It's okay.
No, after the podcast.
After the podcast.
There you go. There you go.
No, but that's great. But see, that's a remedy, right? Yeah. So I think that's great that as a 22-year-old, a lot of people that are in their 20s, they don't even understand what they want to do in life. Yeah. And I think that's such a good thing that you actually went somewhere to find out what you wanted to do in life. Because you don't go to ayahuasca to do something. You go there to just kind of let it all go and see what comes in.
Yeah.
So if I'm right.
So then after the, you know, you go to this retreat, you come back, you're 16 years old, you're able to create your new patterns. Are you saying you've only been in America for like a few years, basically?
Yeah, 8 years.
Eight years. Yeah. Wow, that is so phenomenal. We have a lot of friends also out there that have been in the States for 6 years, 3 years, 2 years. And the really crazy thing is individuals that come here from other countries, they're some of the most hardest working people, some of the most driven people. Yeah. Are you doing this because do you feel like back home you didn't have these opportunities, and now that you have them, you're taking them full force? Because here's the thing, here in America, most people do not do what you're doing, and they have these opportunities from when they're born. You know, you've only been here for 8 years, and look at what you have accomplished at such a young age, 22. Again, books and all these things that you're doing. Do you feel in your mindset you're doing this because you're just like, okay, I have the opportunities, I have to, or this is just who you are?
Like, are you definitely, I believe because I don't have these opportunities back at home.
Got it.
And since I was little, I never thought about all the stuff that I'm doing right now. Oh. And there is a lot of people, for example, now that I went to Venezuela and I had a lot of friends, like, oh, why don't you come to the city they... I wasn't raised in Caracas. I was raised in another city. And so they're like, oh, why don't you come here? And I'm like, oh, because I'm doing bigger things. Mm-hmm. And I actually went there. And like I said, I was blogging. And everything that I was doing with my family and my dad, I was just learning more about my ancestors. And I was empowering them as well. Mm-hmm. So I gave them my book. Every day I was powerful. Brainwashing them. They saw me waking up at 4 a.m. Powerful. They saw me going to the gym every day. Yes. And so for me, that might not be like something instantly, but yes. I know that will stay in their mind. They will be they can see me, what I do daily.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so they work with me. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think that can empower people where they're like, this guy is real. This is not just like showing off.
Right.
And so I believe like I want to empower people in my circle, in my inner circle, so my family first, so I can empower outside. And that was like the whole meaning of this trip, where I'm going all over the world or whatever it is, and I'm empowering people.
Right.
And wherever I'm at, whoever I'm talking to, I'm just giving them love and giving them the highest frequency I have. And that's authenticity. I'm just myself.
It is. You're doing that right now just by being on the podcast. People are learning so much. So it's so beautiful. And again, coming from across the world, that's just... Wow, incredible.
And going into real estate, so we're obviously big in real estate and mortgage in the States, you know, but you're in Florida. But I mean, you live in Florida, but you're in private equity. So explain to us exactly what does that mean? A lot of people that watch, they're a little bit younger. Course, they don't understand at all what that means.
Right.
So if somebody wants to get into the private equity business, what exactly is required? And if I'm correct, do you always need your own money to do it?
No, not at all. Actually, I got into private equity without my own money, just by doing network marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that is basically networking and meeting people. Mm-hmm. And not only meeting them and putting them in your phone, but building a relationship. And that way you start to provide value. You go on dinners, you go and introduce them to somebody.
Yes.
And once you start building that relationship, there is opportunities that they present itself. So let me just give you an example. I was doing a podcast with one of my guests, and he's a trader, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's also an innovator. He makes softwares and he's creating a POS. I don't know if I can share so much information, but he's doing really good in the software industry.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so he was raising capital, and he was giving private equity. So he told me, I'm black. When I told him about this, they just look at me and they're like, I'm not giving you my money. And he trusted me a lot. He doesn't have friends here. And he was like, can you actually represent my company? And I was like, yeah, for sure. I will do it. And so since then, I've been going to events, partnered up with people to host my own events.
Amazing.
And so that way I get to meet investors and introducing to them, introducing to like his team. And it's like, it's my face and he's part of the team. He's part of the innovators. And that way we were able to raise $10 million. And so I got 5% of those $10 million in his company. So I didn't put a dime. I did put sweat equity where I was like, you know, I didn't get a dollar by partnering up with people, going to talk to them and, you know, doing all that work. But I enjoyed it because I was just, I call it glitching around. I was just like going with people, you know, maybe paying for a dinner here, paying for a dinner there. And it all paid off. Like right now I have I'm a owner of a POS in the Caribbean where I didn't have to put a dime. I had just had to put a lot of work. And it was pretty cool because the guy that we got as an investor, he's a huge connection. And so that also is now my connection. So for me, it's just about the people. It's no more about money. I'm not really focused more on transactions. And that's how I see private equity. So if anybody wants to get into private equity, I will tell them to focus on relationships and building that relationship to the point where it becomes like family. Because I'm doing business with people, they are basically like family. I'm not just doing transactions anymore.
But, you know, and that, just like you said, network marketing is so huge. I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize that. I feel like profit is necessary, but it's also corrupt. Like people focus on the corruption before they focus on maybe the networking, the circle, the people you're around. Because you end up being, you know, the circle you're with is pretty much what you end up being at the end. So you always have to be very selective of what people you want to surround yourself with, what information you're going to take in. And network marketing, which is basically what we do, Mike. We're all over the place, let's be real. So
I just found this out.
I mean, sorry. I already knew, but anyways. But we do it all the time, and you're doing that. So guys, so if you guys want to take pointers from Glenn, just go out there, meet people, expose yourself to all types of information. And then before you know it, you're going to meet that next person that might need a private equity deal or might need some other person to fit in their circle of business or their investments. And all of a sudden you have 5% shares of a $10 million company, right? So there's a lot of benefits.
And basically it really is just that simple, being putting yourself out there, putting yourself around the right people. And then is it really, once you have that connection, so basically what you're saying is that's when you do the ask, which is basically, are you going to invest in this company or that company? Because now you have...
Not at all.
Okay.
Like I said, I just focus so much in building that relationship. I don't even ask for it. I let them ask me, like, what do you do? Like,
amazing.
I get to the point where I give so much and they're like, okay, but what the hell do you do? Because that's how you become interesting.
Right.
Because, okay, you invite them to an event. It's yours. You're sponsoring the event and you do this and then you bring them to a dinner. You're doing a mastermind and they get like, this 22-year-old is talking about all this about the mindset and the business and private equity. And he's like, you know, privately, he's like, so tell me what deals do you have? Like, what do you do? You know, it's not just like pitching them. I don't pitch anybody. I don't go out there and pitch. I do calls and, you know, at the end I tell them like, this is what I offer. But I'm not selling you anything. You don't have to. You don't have to take anything. You know, I'm just here to provide value.
That's so powerful.
And if people see it, good. If they don't, good as well.
And I love that because again, most people are gonna have that mindset to build that relationship. And even my mindset was like, okay, like when do you do the ask? And you just cleared that up so the audience could really feel that. You know what I mean?
And that's so good because even I mean, let's be real. We go to a lot of dinners and we always go prepared, but we never go in. This is what you need to do. We're going just to entertain, enjoy the conversation.
The relationship.
The relationship. And before you know it, you're right. They're asking, oh, I'm interested in buying a property. Or I'm interested in taking an adventure in this type of business. So it's absolutely true. And guys, it's not difficult. It's just go out there and network. And it's not, before you know it, you get your next deal. You know, it's super cool.
And it's about building that authority. So when you're in that table and you're masterminding or whatever you're doing, you know, you're the authority in real estate. You're the authority in lending. So they're like, okay, I need to talk to this guy about lending. I need to, I wanted to buy a house. I need to ask him about this.
Of course.
And that's how you get the client, by just being yourself. Being the authority.
You also have this new thing that we were talking about. You have this way of, and I don't know if we can discuss it, and if we can't, we'll take it off. But we were talking about a way to help people promote their social media in a way where they're getting more exposure. Are you able to touch base on that?
Yeah, of course.
So do illustrate.
You're talking about the agency?
Yes.
So yeah, I created an agency for social media, yes, and also for private equity. Mm-hmm. So the agency has different services for like lead generation and business owners, mm-hmm, that, you know, they need to build their brand awareness.
Correct.
And so that's something that my team handles. I'm more of the consultant side. And so what I do with the private equity is most of the people with the private equity, they structure this as a fund, right? Mm-hmm. As a private equity fund. And they only have a pitch deck and they have to go themselves, go meet an investor, you know, word of mouth and go here and there. And so what I did is I did a professional video of an introduction of the company, how they're generating revenue, what is the track record, what are they doing? And also combine it with a good pitch deck.
Yes.
So for example, mm-hmm, me as the glitch that I'm just networking, I go out there, I host my events or I go to other events and I have that. Mm-hmm. And so me, because I like that deal and I'm under contract with them. And if I bring an investor, I get 5% of the equity, mm-hmm, or commission, whatever I want.
Yes.
I can go with a video and show it to a potential investor and they can now know more about the fund.
That's, mm-hmm, powerful.
And so I don't have to bring the fund manager or the whoever is the owner of the company. Mm-hmm. I just go with my phone and I just share it with them. And that way now I can raise the capital by myself.
Wow. Powerful.
And so that's what I'm doing with this agency. I'm, mm-hmm, also like combining these events where I get the sponsors that they are in the same private equity, mm-hmm, and I introduce them to investors. And there's nothing better than human connection.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because, right, yes, in everything is digital now. Mm-hmm. And that's what I just explained with the agency. It's everything digital. But with the events, it's just another level.
Right.
Because you get to introduce them. Now, yes, they get to feel their energy. Now, mm-hmm, they get to, okay, this guy is like this, like that. And the people are around you, you can see through your eyes.
Yes.
You can, mm-hmm, see more than just like a digital stuff that, right, is edited, is well done.
Yes.
And so it's more authentic. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm, so that's what I'm doing with this agency.
That's amazing. Yeah. The agency, it seems like it's running amazing. But here's the thing. A lot of people, even I've been speaking with a lot of individuals, me and Eli, and basically they're saying that it's hard for them to get out there and meet people, even though these are people that are very big. Mm-hmm. They have a lot going on with maybe YouTube, mm-hmm, and Facebook. They're getting billions of views. Mm-hmm. They're making their money, millions of dollars a year. But they're even coming to me and Eli, you know, asking us like, well, how do you get people to come around you? How do you create these events and people show up? Right. How do you have the strength to go up to these big people? And then they tell you yes. Is there any way you could give the audience some insight on how you do it? I'm sure it's very easy for you, but again,
I already feel like I know what you're going to say.
Again, for the audience, they're like, this is like the hardest thing ever, but yeah, obviously you're sitting here and you're like,
so we're talking about networking, like
people, yes. They yeah, how are you putting this all together? Like, how do you have the create these relationships? Because your events, I've seen them before, they're big. So I know these people, they want to know, like, how are you going up to these people, meeting them? How do you have the strength to do that? Because again, we've talked with many people and they're like, it's just so scary. I don't know how to do it. We don't know how to put these together. And these are big people. So I would like them to hear from you.
Well, first of all, there is books out there that they teach you how to talk to people, how to get out of your comfortable zone. And
I like that.
Some simple thing as calling people by their name. That way they feel more special talking about them. And so they don't have to create their own events. They can start by going to events, mm-hmm, and losing, mm-hmm, themselves, mm-hmm, on, trying to mingle, trying, yes, to meet people genuinely.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just like we're doing right now. You know, you're asking me genuinely questions. You, mm-hmm, don't have anything. You don't, mm-hmm, have questions right now. Mm-hmm. And so getting to know them. And so what do you do? And how long you been here? And, mm-hmm, and where are you from? And, right, you know, like simple things.
Basically, you have to try.
Yeah.
You have to literally try, make the relationship. Yeah. And I, again, even though it's something so simple for the audience, it could be so difficult for them. Totally. But
I also think it's not just that. Like, I think a lot of people go for the closing. Like, I think that's the first killer of relationships. You go in for, I want something out of the guy, mm-hmm, or out of the female, right? They want, yeah, something. Mm-hmm. So instead of taking, you give friendship.
Yeah.
You give some kind of acknowledgement. You give them some kind of empowerment. Instead of like expecting a yes, you want to give them information. So I think that's the issue with most people is they want to go in for the attack, gave me a yes versus like, you know, if you want to, let's be at the end, you want a yes, right? Everyone wants to close a transaction, but you still, you go in with the point of, hey, this is who I am. Who are you? Let's get to know each other. And then from there, there's going to be some kind of connection. And if there isn't, you have connection, but maybe not a business relationship.
And sometimes you might not think about it, but people that they're not even high status or they don't have money, they still have people around them that they might be your next connection, your next big deal.
Yes.
And so, for example, I'm going to give this testimonial. This girl, the first podcast I recorded it was with this girl, Melanie. And
shout out to Melanie.
we know who you are.
Right. Number one.
And so it's funny because she's been in the industry of nursing for more than 10 years, more than a decade.
Wow.
And so she decided to get out of it and become an entrepreneur, started in private equity. Amazing. And so, you know, when you're starting out, little to nobody started to believe in you. Mm-hmm. And so I just supported her out of my pure heart. And I recorded my first podcast with her. I was taking her to my events. I was taking her everywhere I could because I know that she was starting out. So I was just like, I'm going to help her out however I can. And now she closed a pretty big deal. And she wants to buy a $10 million house.
Oh,
and
my God.
Guess who she's doing it with?
Yeah.
She's doing
Mr. it with Glitch. Me. Mr. Glitch. Wow. Exactly. And so, congratulations, Melanie.
I generally help her out. And now we're doing a $10 million transaction where I'm not doing it by myself because I haven't done a $10 million transaction yet. And so I wasn't thinking like, oh, I want to get everything by myself. So I talked to one of my mentors. He's in the private equity with me in real estate. And he's putting everything together in the structure where we're putting a life insurance policy. So she's borrowing against it and she's paying less in
interest,
in taxes or something. Like he's teaching me all this process to do this huge deal, right? And so I have to give him like $20,000 to $40,000.
Yeah,
but I mean, I'm still taking a big piece of the pie, and and I'm learning, you know, how to structure this big deal that now I'm prepared for the next one,
right?
And so I'm not just like getting the money and like probably like spending it all traveling or whatever. I'm getting more experience with my mentor, and so that's something that I'm very big on spending on your time and money and mentors.
Right.
Love that.
Yeah. Myself and Eli were actually, I'm real estate and loans, but the real estate that I do is like single family housing or multi-units. The traditional real estate agent is basically what I am. And that's how I met you.
Yeah.
You were a couple of years back, like full-blown real estate agent. Yeah. And I know you still hold your real estate license out in Florida, but I want to know, because private equity sounds so interesting, but what took you away from traditional real estate? Because at least here where we're working with me and Eli, a lot of the agents around us are younger agents that we work around. Most of them are the single family traditional real estate agent. But what took you away from that? Because real estate traditionally can also give you a great return on investment. Yeah. But it seems like private equity can be even higher than that. Is that one of the reasons why you chose going to the private equity?
Well, like you guys know, I see everything as a game. And for me, that's like a ultimate level of business and real estate.
Yes.
Once you go into private equity, like I said, it's a structure as a fund. And so, for example, my mentor is my ex-father-in-law.
Oh, wow.
And so he's been a
developer. The trust is there.
No, he loves me and everything. We have a great relationship.
Love it.
And so he's been a developer for over a decade. And so now he's becoming a fund over the last 4 years. And he brought me under his wing and teaching me everything, how this is a structure, how he's raising the capital, how he does everything, right?
Got it.
And how I looked at it is like, I can still do the transactions and be involved in private equity by learning all this stuff from him. And I totally love it. It's just different. It's a little bit different when I go to an event or I talk to people about these deals.
Yes.
They just look at me differently.
Right.
They're like, who are you?
Right.
Like, tell me more.
And it's true. I mean, I could say if we were both at an event and we were talking to an investor or an individual, we're totally going to have different mindsets. I'm going to be talking about traditional stuff and, you know, how to invest in certain different things. And you're totally going to be on an upper, higher level. Both licenses are amazing, but totally different games. And I love how you state that, because they're are a lot of young real estate agents that we work with out there, even lenders. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this might be something that you might want to start looking into, because like you said, this is like the top.
Yeah.
And why not be at the top, right?
And I think private equity doesn't require a license, right?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. You don't need a license to get into private equity.
Yes. Right.
Because all you're doing is bringing the investor and, okay, my ex-father-in-law, he needs the license. Mm-hmm. He's the one that managed mm-hmm. the fund. But not me. I'm right. just bringing the investor. Just like you do in real estate.
Yes.
You bring the investor, but you need the license to close the transaction. Mm-hmm. In this case, you don't.
So kind of just to break it down to the audience, it's basically like you're the middleman.
Yeah, basically.
And you don't I'm need broker, that yeah. license, but you're basically the essential piece to everything that's going on.
Yeah, correct.
But you still don't have that license, but look how powerful that can, you know, the things it can create.
And that makes it a lot easier for people that don't understand what they want to do in life. Like, you just connect with someone and maybe figure out a way, hey, if I don't want to go to school and learn all this kind of BS, because let's be real, when you go to school, everything you learn, and I'm sorry, schools, if you're going to watch this, but I feel like the education isn't up to par where experience the is going to be so much system. Better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like what you're doing is great, because there's a lot of people that can actually gain a lot of profit. Yeah. Yes, corrupt, but it's still profit and you need it mm-hmm. to be able to build their empire, no matter what age. And I think that's pretty a necessity. It's almost like wholesaling.
Right.
Wholesaling doesn't need a license either. You just have to know it's all contract based. Mm-hmm. Create contracts. You sell the contract. You make money. Same correct. Thing with you. You get the client. You sell the client to your to the whatever it is that you're doing.
I have
with
the
that
deal
guy.
Flow and, that's and it. I get the investor. Yes.
That's
and
amazing.
Like you said, like the age, it doesn't really matter because. And let's rewind a little bit. Speaking of age, you said, okay, you went to this retreat, mm-hmm. you know, you were able to create your own patterns. When did you get into this world of real estate and all of this? Did it, when did it click to you?
Around when I was 18,
okay.
I created my own company, Dog Services.
And mm-hmm. you at the moment, you were a server at 18?
No. At that time, I just came back to my parents' house.
Okay.
And I believed in myself that I could create a business and... It was kind of hard in the beginning because I never had that proof of concept. I never had that proof to myself that I could do that, but I still believed. And mm-hmm. I was creating these new patterns where I started to make money by myself by creating value in the marketplace, wow. by providing services in the waterfront, the Sony house with dog walkers. And so I had memberships where they used to pay me like from $2,000 to $5,000 a month to walk 2 to 3 dogs. And I just leveraged people to walk the dogs and have mm-hmm. memberships, right?
Amazing.
And so at that time, I was making good money. And so I understood the power of network. And so I went to F1, the first year of F1, I went there and I met Johnny. Johnny is the CEO and founder of Luxury. And so Luxury is a short-term rental company where they rent out mansions.
Mm-hmm.
And so he told me since then, like, you need to get your real estate license. And then we started to hang out. I got my license. I got into all the brokerage. And since then, I've been, the doors are being open
wow.
everywhere.
That's amazing. It's kind of like yeah. meeting the right people.
Yeah.
Being in the right place at the right time. Your story resonates with me and Eli. He kind of has the same story. Somebody was like, why aren't you getting your real estate license?
It's funny because I think I may have told you, but exactly when I turned 21 is when we had some dude knocking on the door because I was already doing sales. Mm-hmm. I was selling knives, selling vacuums, selling not knife insurance, but I was selling a lot of different things. And then instead of knocking on people's doors, selling them the cuchillos, like, hey, you think I'm going to stab them or something.
Wow.
Instead of that, I was like, this guy introduced me to real estate, which yeah. is way a bigger, higher margin of profit. And you get to know people and really get to build a relationship plus mm-hmm. repetition, right? You get to get the client back again
yeah.
to refinance. So I think it's pretty, there's so much potential and mm-hmm. so many different ways of growing business in the real estate aspect because it's not just a closing the sale or doing the refinance. It's also selling the contract, buying the contract,
mm-hmm.
getting people to build and put money together to buy something bigger. And you could be part of that. It's just, you can really endless, get lost in this, but endless. It's really endless.
Kind of
right?
like our, so again, going back to our previous guest with it, she was so amazing. Basically what she was stating is that you also have to take that risk. You have to also put in the work. You also yeah. have to, you know, so if you get that opportunity, most people won't take it. And I'm sitting mm-hmm. on a stage right now with people who have taken that opportunity when it was presented to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say those words because if you're sitting here today watching this podcast and you're not making that effort, you're getting those opportunities and you're sitting there and you're like, should I do it? Should I not? You're watching people right mm-hmm. now who were sitting there with the same opportunities, but we actually took them. You know, the person yeah. knocked on your door, randomly, and he became a real estate agent weeks, months later.
Yeah.
Same thing with you. Somebody's like, hey, you need to get your license. They saw that vision in you. The opportunity was there. And bam, you're sitting here today, 22 years old, doing private equity. I'm sitting here as a real estate agent for 10 years. And it was because my brother was like, hey, I see you. You can make this type of money as well. And I'm like, let's go for it. Took the opportunity. So I think what I'm getting you out of right here is opportunity. You have to take it. And when we talk, I do feel like that's who you are. You take opportunities.
So just to touch base on that is also you create those opportunities by first the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. You know, you can put that into your mind, you put it into your thoughts, and you can get the opportunity. But it's also the law of action, like you said. If you don't take the opportunity, it's not gonna, like, the deal is not gonna close by itself. You need to do something. And so you need to have persuasion, you need to learn, you need to, you probably might make a few mistakes, but you need to do feedback. That way you don't make those mistakes again. Because a mistake is really called a mistake if you do it twice, if you didn't learn from it.
One concept I think that you work off of, and I love this concept, and maybe you can explain it to the audience, is the difference of working hard and working smart. You're somebody who works smart.
Yeah.
The world thinks that you have to work hard, and I don't believe that's true. And if you could just explain that to the audience.
Well, I do believe it's true. We need to work hard and smart.
I love that.
The way that I used to work hard, it was like going to a job and, you know, chasing that dollar. And so the same thing where we're talking about going to network and go and pitch. You don't have to focus on that pitching or that selling. It's switching the focus into delivering the truth and empowering people, bringing your values, being authentic. That's how I do it. And so I don't focus on the dollars or the transactions anymore because it's coming. I know that it's coming.
And like you said, you have to do both.
Yeah.
So and I think what I meant was most people will literally just do the hard. And then they're like, I'm this really hard worker. And, you know, most people will think they're really amazing for working hard like that. But the life that we really could live is you could actually not have to work so hard. Yes, you're right. The hard has to be there. But also the smart has to be there. And if it's not, then you're doing unjust to yourself, I believe.
Yeah, you're going to end up burning out. I mean, there is only so much hours in a day that you have, and so that you can swap for a couple dollars. But then if you're smart and you know you can put a big deal together and, you know, you work it out while you're working on other deals. And so it's not the same as just swapping your time for dollars and working hard on yourself as well. Because if you're healthy, if you're strong, your business is going to be healthy. Your business is going to be strong. Your relationships, your partner. And so working hard on yourself, I think, is more than working hard on your business. It's working hard on yourself and working smart on your business.
Love
and,
that.
And to
love
add to
that,
what you said, I mean, it's, you know, I love how everything comes back from the secret, right? Isn't that where originates the law of attraction, the law of action? But I feel like even beyond that, it's manifesting it in yourself, having the right energy in the right place. I feel like it only works if you really understand what you're seeking. So if you're really seeking a good relationship, if you're seeking, even if you're seeking profit, but there's good intention behind it, that's when, and again, this is in my own perspective, but I feel like eventually from there, then now you're actually applying the law of attraction because your energy's there, you're manifesting this, or you're asking for, you're letting it come to you. And then you can create the action after all that's already been put together. So I feel like what you're doing, like me and Mike have been saying, is a 22-year-old that's been doing all these different insane moves, risking everything. Let's be real. Even though you're 22, you don't have any family or anything to risk in essence when it comes down to that. But you could literally like pivot out of control and decide to be just like any other 22-year-old and say, all right, it didn't work out. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to see if I can become an engineer. I'm going to go try to be a doctor and spend 9 years in school systems, spending maybe $1 million in school to try to become a doctor. But you could be making that kind of money now by just using your brains, by going out there and networking with people. So I think that's pretty amazing. And I think there's so much talent in that, that you probably never knew you had it, but you have it in you. And I think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you actually mentioned manifesting, and that's something that you are supreme at doing. Where did you learn how to manifest? Where did you learn the glitch? Like, I want to know, because I've always been somebody who is like a master manifester. Eli is a great manifester, but he's barely coming into this world. He's barely seeing when you manifest it actually happens. And then, you know, once it actually happens, you become a believer. But where did you learn this world of manifesting? It's very powerful.
My mom. My mom showed me the secret.
Oh, wow.
Just like you said.
No way. Yeah. Literally, I showed the Eli
movie,
the secret.
The movie and in the book.
Right. And it's so amazing. If you really can watch that movie, I mean, they even show you how people have frequencies that come out of your body. Yeah. You're not going to see them. You have to go watch the movie, obviously. But
well, I can touch on that because...
Definitely.
So there's two things. First, I do risk a lot because once I make a big deal or something like that, I spend it on myself again. Mm-hmm. Because I'm young and I'm very wealthy just because of the time that I have. Mm-hmm. And so I spend it on myself, on a mentor or whatever. And I did spend it on mentors of my mind, doing the neurofeedback.
Love
and
it.
I understand the frequencies that I'm in. Right now, I'm in a high frequency.
Yes.
And so he used to put this stuff in my brain where I used to close my eyes, meditate. He used to make me angry. He used to make me sad. And I was able to see the frequencies. And wow. This guy explained me everything, how the frequencies work and everything. So it was a little expensive. It was like $7,000 for like 2 months.
Yes.
But it was totally worth it because now I understand right. Why am I feeling like this? How I snap out of it? Mm-hmm. I can literally glitch out of it.
Wow.
And so that's why I also call myself the glitch because I know a lot about myself and everything is from within.
Wow.
So that way I don't search for anything outside.
You're like a 98-year-old man in a 22-year-old body. Because I'm going to be honest, Mike knows this. I can snap out of anything within seconds, but it's because I became wiser in time. I understand that if you can't change it, why are you going to be so angry about it? It happened. It's past tense. Now go forward. But you're talking in the sense as if somebody who's already gone through so many life experiences, divorce, marriage, lost homes, made profits, all these different things, but you're in the 22-year-old body. So I think that's essential to understand because you're moving very, very quickly because of where you're energy's at, where your mind's at, where all these things that we're talking about, all that stuff, it's reaching you to a different platform. It's pretty sick when you mm-hmm. think about it, mm-hmm. you know, because it's so much more than just money. It's a different way of understanding what to do with your life.
Yeah, correct.
You know, it's like mega glitching, right?
Exactly.
Actually, recently I just got this attached from everything I have. And so I don't know if you remember the last time I came here, I had the AP. I bought a porch and mm-hmm. I got rid of all the material stuff that I had. And at this point, I wasn't like really like attached to it. Mm-hmm. My TV, all my stuff in my house, I give it out to my coach, my boxing coach. His kid was super excited to have a big TV and all that stuff. I didn't even use it.
Right.
So for me, it wasn't really like, I don't know, I'm attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was there. And I feel like a lot of people, they hold up to things that they don't even use.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have it there because it's material and materialistic. And I don't know, I just got rid of everything.
Nice.
And right now I'm just in a path where I want just to empower people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if I will be uncomfortable because let's be honest, I love myself to the point that like I'm very selfish with my time and, mm-hmm. and who do I share my time with.
Yes.
But I do want to help people and I need to get uncomfortable to talk to people that sometimes they don't get it. Sometimes mm-hmm. they're not in the same frequency. And I just have to believe so much in them so they can believe in themselves.
Yes.
And for example, right now I'm working with a friend of mine. He got a nonprofit and he feeds the homeless. But he just feeds the homeless. I came to a nonprofit to help them do breath work and feed their soul first. Mm-hmm. Then they can feed themselves.
Amazing.
Because like I do it. I don't eat the whole day. Mm-hmm. Why are you eating? You know, like mm-hmm. I make good money. You don't make shit. Why are you eating? And so for me, I go to work in the morning. And then when I deserve it, it's like, oh, I'm eating.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's a mindset as well.
Yeah.
And so tapping in into the breath work and into your mind within, it's for me, it's just like very powerful.
Wow.
I've been able to help a couple people like stop smoking
wow.
and doing a couple things for themselves, build a relationship with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because now they found themselves. They stopped looking for things in the outside. And those are the material things that I'm telling you I got rid of.
Nice.
Because I don't first, I don't need them, and they don't fulfill them anymore. Like, they don't make me like any happier or anything.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Helping people actually make me happier.
Wow.
More than like closing this transaction with Melanie or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This makes me way happier. And
that she's helped. If,
yeah. Exactly. I mean, for me, it's just like, I get so much back that I don't have to focus on these transactions. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's so powerful.
And
yeah.
That thing that you get back is probably mostly energy, something that you can't even see.
Yeah.
And that is even more precious than actually getting something back, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
This is so powerful. You have so many things going on.
Yeah.
Again, author, private equity, real estate agent, network marketing, so many different things that, you know, anybody that's watching, you just taught them so many golden nuggets, as I like to say. But, you know, before we go, we always like to ask our guest, in the next 5 years, you're obviously so young still, you must have a vision for the next five years. And if you could tell our audience what you're creating, what your visions are, what are your manifestations? Because we all know after watching this podcast, they're going to come true. But we want to hear it today. What does your next 5 years look like to Mr. Glitch?
Well, I would say I think way ahead. I would say like 10 years
mm-hmm.
and short-term goals as well. But in the long, in the 10 years, we're talking about having more people, empowering more people. So now how I do it with people, they can do it for other people. And that way we can like all become like a better place.
Yes.
Because I think, yes, because for example, I think here in the United States, a lot of people are just interested in something to get out of you.
Yes.
And since I got here, I always been getting that feeling from everybody. It's so hard to find people that genuinely they want to be with you because of you. And so I want to change that. I want people to actually like be genuine to each other, and they can get much more than just a profit.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, how I'm going to do that, I still don't know.
Okay.
I haven't built like, I don't know, like a sanctuary or I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yes.
I guess with my community, it will help a lot with my brand, with my books, with all of that together, it will be in my ecosystem. But I haven't really like tapping into exactly how I'm going to do it.
And that's a perfect reason, because
there's no right or wrong, right?
There's no right or wrong, and you're living your best life. You're traveling the world, let's be real, and you're out here with us in Beverly Hills. So we really do want to appreciate you for being on our podcast the second time. Last time was at the beach, guys, so go backwards and look at the video. It was so good. We had a piece of bread fall on my leg. I don't know what happened. That was crazy. I don't get it.
Paso de pan.
Paso de pan. But
too much.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. But
that's the bread. The bread's comes to
that
bread.
You know, he was manifesting.
Yeah, facts.
Oh my God. He was like, I want dinner.
No, I don't want to manifest that.
Dead.
Anyways, but I appreciate you being here. Thank you for coming to our podcast. And guys, follow him at Glenn Musk. Is there any other places where people can find you?
Many.
They can go on YouTube and find us as Glitches. That's the community that I'm building. And yeah, Glenn Musk, I guess that's the best way to find me.
Love it.
Amazing.
Love it.
Guys, thank you so much for being part of our journey. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.